This episode of What the Tech is brought to you by Harry's. Stop messing around and get started shaving with Harry's today by claiming your free trial offer. $13 value for free, just covered a shipping by going to harrys.com/whatthetech. Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/andrew and enter promo code Andrew at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. And by Hover. Find a domain name for your idea. Go to hover.com/WTT and get 10% off your first purchase. Again, that's hover.com/WTT. Hover, domain names for your ideas. What the heck? Hey, everybody, welcome to What the Tech. I'm Andrew Zarin. Of course, I'm joined by the one, the only, Mr. Paul Thurrott. How you doing, Paul?
Pretty good.
Yeah, you have a fresh coat of paint on those walls. You have sold your house.
Yep.
I also have a fresh coat of paint on my walls because Jess is redoing everything. And I am in construction hell right now. It's terrible.
You are going through your own kind of thing over there, aren't you?
Yeah, there's a word that I used to describe what my life is.
Yep.
And that's hell.
Yep.
I've been going through a lot recently. A lot. And it's only you that keeps me going, Paul. Well, seeing you on Thursdays our beautiful audience.
Prepare to be disappointed, Andrew.
man, there is a lot to talk about actually today. Other than my hellish life. That, you know what? In September, guys, things are gonna go back to normal, I swear to you. People have been asking, you know, is everything okay? You're not around anymore. You're not tweeting as much. It's just, I got to get past August, and once September comes and the weather cools down, things are going to be A-okay.
I am literally on the same time schedule.
Good. We're on it together.
We're going through two girls together. On the same schedule.
Yeah.
So cute.
We are cute. We're best friends. I still am using this HP. Mac is here. I have it for the show, but this has become my everyday computer, and I absolutely love it, and I'm going to talk about this. We're going to go down this journey because people were very, very into my usage and how I'm using stuff and how I'm not using stuff. I got a great tip. Before I forget, I got a great tip by one of our audience members. I was complaining about how I have to run all these social media sites for my consulting stuff and my company and the company I'm working for. And on the Mac, I've been using this application called Flume Beta, and it's a Instagram management tool that I could have multiple applications on there and use, you know, just go back and forth. I could edit shots. It's Instagram, but on steroids, and it's an application.
Yes.
And I really like having individual apps for things like this. I don't like using web-based, you know, like Chrome-based products or something.
Chrome-based products. I don't like that stuff in my bloodstream.
No, I don't. So I complained that I couldn't find anything on Windows, and one of the people that watches the show, and I'm so sorry if you're listening, tweet us, message in the chat room so I could give you proper credit. He told me he recommended this application called Grids, G-R-I-D-S, Grids, and it's awesome. I could have, you know, it's not a free app. It's like $10. But you could have multiple Instagram accounts and toggle back and forth and manage all these accounts. So it's on Windows and on the Mac, so it works perfectly for me. So I wanted to thank them before I totally forget and not thank them.
So, Grids is like, it sounds like scales. It's like something you need an ointment to fix.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's cool looking up.
So I do want to, we have a lot to talk about, obviously, today. Paul's move and his venture into home automation. The Microsoft Paint drama, Paul. A lot to talk about.
Sure.
The iPhone 8 issues. They're having a lot of problems with this thing. They're really behind.
Allegedly. I mean, I guess we'll see what happens, but yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So all that plus a lot more, but I do want to take a moment and talk about our sponsor, and that's Harry's. I've been using a Harry's razor for about 2 years now, and when they came on as an advertiser, I really was a little apprehensive because I've been using the same type of razor for, you know, my whole life, my whole adult life, and I didn't want to change over. And when I did change over, I was shocked at how crappy my razor was. and how great Harry's was. They have an unbelievable offer for our audience members. Claim your free trial offer from Harry's. It's a $13 value for free when you sign up and just cover the shipping cost. That's all you have to do. And in this trial set, which I have all the way at that end, it's no use to me when that box is over there. But you get the razor handle, the 5 precision engineer blade that comes with it, plus an extra blade that comes with it, the travel blade cover, the shaving gel, and this beautiful box that you could give to anybody as a gift. I mean, this is an unbelievable offer, unbelievable gift, and you just have to cover the shipping. It's a $13 value for free. When you go to harrys.com/whatthetech, that's harrys.com/whatthetech, you can go there, sign up, and change your life as a person that shaves all the time. And I got a beard, but I still clean it up. It's night and day how wonderful I feel afterwards. harrys.com/whatthetech. I want to thank them for supporting the show. Also, you know, I always say, the guy in your life will love you even more than he should love you when you give him a Harry's razor.
Jeez.
My father hated me until I gave him a Harry's razor, Paul.
Oh.
He wouldn't speak to me. 15 years, he didn't say a word to me. And then I bought him a Harry's razor for Father's Day, and it was all different. Our relationship is perfect now. Paul, let's start off. Where do you want to begin with this? Let's talk about the Microsoft Paint drama, because that thing went nuts on Twitter. What happened?
nothing. And that's what's amazing about this.
But, yeah.
You know, every version of Windows that comes down the pike, Microsoft releases a list of features it's deprecating and features it's removing. And usually those lists are not very long. And usually those lists are not very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I pulled out deprecated, just so you know, means that it remains in Windows, usually for backwards compatibility reasons, because maybe there are APIs that developers rely on or whatever, but whatever the cause. And then all the features that were being removed, I mean, none of them are interesting at all. But of the three that were, let's see if I can find this, it was so long ago all of a sudden, of the three that I called out, because actually it wasn't all of them. The three that I found interesting were Microsoft Paint, which Microsoft has been trying to kill for years. Sync your settings, which is not actually going away. They're just consolidating it with the enterprise version. So they're going to change the underlying technology probably in the next release. And then System Image Backup, which is a legacy backup tool that nobody should be using anymore. We have modern tools for this stuff. It's been sitting in there untouched since Windows 7. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, for me, this happened, probably happened Friday. I didn't see it till the weekend, and I wrote about it over the weekend. And I sort of approached it like, look, Microsoft's been trying to kill off Paint for years. Every time they do, everybody complains. It keeps coming, you know, it never actually goes away.
Yeah.
I've had these ideas in the back of my head for a while now about how Microsoft should improve Windows 10 going forward. And I have kind of a different plan than what Microsoft is doing. Okay. And so what I wrote at the time was, I have some ideas, like I said, and I'll share those ideas in the near future. And so I eventually did write that story. But before that could happen, the entire planet lost its shit. Like The Guardian, the BBC, NBC, CBS, Fox News, all the tech sites. Microsoft is killing Microsoft Paint. Okay, so first of all, that was inaccurate. That is not what it said. And then people started writing eulogies for it, like it was their favorite application of all time or something. This stupid legacy thing that's been
around since Windows 1.0. Quite ironic. I know someone that wrote a piece about how this is so stupid of Microsoft and how it's going to impact the way that they use computers.
Yeah.
Sure. And they're a Mac user. so I have no idea what the hell they're talking about.
So the Mac doesn't come with a version of Microsoft Paint for some reason, even though the first version of Microsoft Paint was based on Mac Paint, which did come with the Mac, the original Mac.
People, I mean, it was all over the place. And
yes, and it was all wrong. Everyone was wrong.
Okay. Everyone. So what were they wrong with on?
Microsoft wasn't killing it. What they said was, we're not adding new features. It's just sitting there. We may remove it in the future, but at the time, because I've seen this happen before, they can't pull it because people go nuts when they try to pull stuff like this out of Windows.
Okay, I got a question. What is the last feature in Paint that they added that you said, wow, this is a game changer?
Well, okay, I don't know, game changer, but the last major feature they added was when they switched to a ribbon-based user interface.
And that was Windows 7
probably.
Yeah, okay.
I think so.
So
they did the same thing with WordPad. I don't remember anymore off the top of my head. But yeah, they added a ribbon UI.
Okay. But so What is Paint 3D?
So Paint 3D is a completely different app. It has nothing to do with Paint.
Nothing to do with Paint at all.
It allows you to create 3D objects.
Okay.
It's a Tinker Toy. It's a Play School application. It's ridiculous. But it has nothing to do with Paint, despite the name. Microsoft actually, during the Windows Insider Preview sometime in the past year, tried to replace Paint with 3D Paint, and everyone freaked out. So they put it back. This is what happens. I've already known this. Like, I knew they were never going to be able to get rid of this. So I wasn't really that worried about it.
Yeah.
I actually do use Paint every single day.
You do for what, screenshots?
Well, not exactly. Although, yeah, sometimes. It's really good at cropping. It's just really good at a couple things that I do regularly. It's less ponderous to use than
something else.
Photoshop. In fact, in some cases, what I'll do, like, let's say I can get Photoshop to resize an image to a certain width, but I can't, and I could crop it, but what I want to do is edit it in some way before I crop it. So I can resize it in Photoshop. That works great. But as far as cutting out the pieces I want and then resizing it, I guess you'd say cropping it technically, it's actually way easier and way better in Paint. It's just, I don't know. And I've tested every application you can imagine, Paint.net, the GIMP, you know, whatever. I've long tried to find something that I could do everything in that worked great, but I just have never found anything that works as well as this. So anyway, whole world loses its shit. So yeah. I wake up on Monday and I'm like, this is not what they said. And I'm on Twitter basically making fun of everybody because you're wrong.
You know what the problem with this stuff is? So I'm...
Nobody reads?
Well, actually, I'm going to tell you something. Yes, absolutely. And that goes to my point. I have been very distracted with, you know, life happening. So
yeah, me too.
I was watching NBC News, right? Local NBC. And they were talking about, and it said Microsoft Paint dead after 30 something years, 32 years or whatever the headline was. And I go, oh, that's weird. I didn't hear about this. Like, I didn't see Paul post that Paint was dead, you or Brad, right? Like, I didn't see you guys, like, you guys spoke about it, obviously, and discussed it, but I didn't really, like, see, like, this headline, like, oh, it's over. So I started digging, right? And I digged, and everybody was reporting that it was dead, except for people that I follow.
Right.
Isn't that something?
Except for that guy that knows everything about Microsoft and uses Microsoft Paint every single day of his life.
Didn't write that story.
I had people pinging me and saying, how come you haven't written about this?
Because it's not happening.
And see, that's my problem. I don't write clickbait headlines. Yeah. I just don't think this way.
Yeah.
You know, in stunning move, Microsoft kills Paint and then goes after its family. You know, like, I don't even, I you know, okay. Anyway, the outpouring
speaks,
was so...
It speaks, you know, volumes as to how news is covered. But I want to stick to text,
let's not
though,
get,
you know?
Please. I listen, we could spend hours on this. It's ridiculous. Microsoft was forced to come out and make a blog post and say, guys, we're not killing Paint. And since you called us on it, we'll put it in the store if we have to.
Yeah.
You know, then you'll always be able to get it. And by the way, that was one of the ideas I had. And remember I said... before they even did any of this stuff. I have some thoughts about a better approach for this and other utilities in Windows 10, but I'll share those in a future editorial. And one of the ideas I've had is Microsoft, first of all, needs to stop adding new features to Windows 10. This is completely unnecessary. There's all this stuff that needs to be fixed. They need to focus on that stuff first, finish the job. One of the things that they have to do as part of it, just a platform transition, is take these legacy code bases that are still stuck in Windows.
Yeah.
And modernize them in some ways.
Yeah.
So if you think about Paint as one example, Notepad, WordPad, whatever, here are the things you might do with those applications. A, remove them. Right? B, okay, first of all, just get rid of them.
Yeah.
Make them optional components where someone, if they really need them, they could go in and install them.
Sure.
You could have a little warning. Look, this thing hasn't been updated in forever. It might not be safe.
Well, listen,
people who need it will not care.
Perfect way to push the Microsoft Store, right? That would be...
Well, hold on. Let me get to the second one. So the second one is you could put it in the store.
Yeah.
And the versions of those apps in the store would be contained in a UWP wrapper. Mm-hmm. They would be safe and reliable and wouldn't kill the battery and all that kind of stuff. And you know, there'd be a little bit of a discoverability issue because people might not know that they're there, but at least they would be there for those people that want them. The other thing you could do, by the way, is rewrite them. I mean, Microsoft's trying to sell developers on this modern app platform, and they're not using it.
Yeah.
How about rewriting Notepad and WordPad and Paint and maybe some other things as UWP apps? Show us how it's done, Microsoft. You know, how about you do the work that you're telling everyone else to do with your own platform? Make a version of Paint That's UWP. It couldn't be that hard.
Yeah.
So anyway, they're not going to do that. But
well, that's,
those were my ideas.
You know, that's well, I, you know, here's the thing. Like,
some of my ideas.
I do not like the UWP Skype app. And I don't know a lot of people that really like it.
I don't know anyone normal who likes that app. It's terrible.
I'm not a developer, but and everybody knows that has been listening to this podcast for the last 45 years that we've been doing it. I went over to the Mac platform as my everyday computer about 8 years ago. Ten years ago. Wow. I'm still in the Windows environment. All my computers in my office, the things that I use every day to keep my business alive are Windows-based computers. My wife uses a Windows-based computer. So I'm still using it, but it wasn't my primary machine. Now, over the last 2 weeks that I've dedicated to kind of going back to Windows.
Yep.
By the way, that's the name of my next book.
Going back to Windows.
Self-reflections of a former
Mac
user.
My next book is a children's book, and it's going to be called B is for Brad.
B is for Brad. I would love that, actually. So, but going back to Windows, I have to tell you, you know, I'm playing around with some of these UWP apps, and they're utter garbage, most of them. And stuff that you would imagine that would be really good. The Skype app is terrible. I use that Verizon Messenger Plus application on my phone because it syncs all my text messages across all my devices. And they have two versions, a UWP version and a standard Windows version. What do you call the regular version?
Desktop application.
Desktop app. Yeah. Okay. Desktop app. The UWP app is unusable where it doesn't even function properly, where the desktop app is perfectly fine. So when you have companies.
That's normal, by the way. That's unfortunately how this works.
It seems like that's the trend here, and that seems to be a problem. But Microsoft could kind of change that stigma by actually saying, you know what, we're going to dedicate time. Paint, we don't need Paint to be a desktop application. It's outdated. It's sitting here, but people tend to use it. So let's force people to use a UWP app that's actually good and get them thinking in this way. Right. Photoshop is not going to make a UWP app. To what we think it's going to be. You know, they're not going to have this full-on version now. Maybe in a couple years.
Yeah, maybe.
But not in the full version. You think we'll see one within the next 2 years? A full version of Photoshop?
It would require Microsoft to advance the platform.
Yeah.
You know, frankly, I was telling Leo this yesterday on Windows Weekly. If you compare, you know, the photo app that comes with Windows 10, which is a joke. It's like you described the other apps. It's just a toy. And then look at some of the stuff that developers are doing on the iPad, which, you know, shouldn't be a sophisticated computing platform compared to Windows. But you look at something like Affinity Photo.
Yeah.
And you're like, yikes. Like,
this thing $40 bucks.
You know, it's super professional. It's like Photoshop.
Yeah. And that's where the disconnect is. And I think the only way to kind of fix that is to kind of force it upon yourselves as Microsoft.
Yeah.
Microsoft has all these great applications, all these great tools that they need to move over themselves before they could expect a developer to do it. You know, if Microsoft came to me and said, oh, you know, Andrew, you have this great app for desktop, but develop this for UWP for the store. And I'm going to say, well, where's your app? Why don't you guys do it first? You know, you guys do it.
No, by the way, why don't you do it and make an app that doesn't look like a stupid joke? And they almost can't because I think that's the problem. The underlying platform is just not mature enough.
Yeah, it looks.
I love the idea behind it. I want to be really clear about this. Their heart's in the right place. The idea is solid. The implementation is just not there. You know, so maybe they mature it. We'll see. I don't. You know, frankly, I've been dealing with this company too long to have a good feeling about this, but I don't know.
So I mean that's. Paint is not gone. They're not taking it away. They're not going to further development, which they really haven't in.
Well, they haven't in forever. I mean, honestly, at some point in Windows 10, they added a button to the ribbon so you can access 3D Paint or whatever. Okay. So neat.
Oh yeah, thank you.
thank
you.
I know.
Yeah,
and that's about it. I mean, most of this UI. I mean, this is what Windows Live. Essentials apps look like in 2009, 2010, whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean,
By the way, Windows Live Essential apps were Movie Maker was.
I know. By the way, please don't get me started on that one. That's another example of finish the job. there is a whatever size audience of people who want to make little videos for their family and put them on YouTube, and they took away that capability.
Paul, my company using – I knew nothing about editing. I started with Movie Maker.
Yeah, no, it works great. It still works great if they would just let you use it. And, you know, they have like a 3D paint app now instead. Yeah. It's like
– you know, sometimes I deal with developers all the time, right? I deal with developers all the time for software that we use here that what we need. I need very specific things like the video software that we use that Suncast produces First Ring Daily on and what we produce here on. It's an unbelievable piece of software. But there's a very complex thing that happens because you know how we tried to do that vMix call thing with you? And it doesn't work right because my entire console and everything is IP-based. And what happens, it gets confused between which network card to use for that call. It starts defaulting to my network for my Axia network card. So right. I messaged the developer. And he goes, you know what, Andrew? He goes, I want to fix this, but I have like 5,000 things ahead of this. Ping me again in 6 months.
Sure.
I mean, but he's aware, right? He's aware that this is a problem. I don't think a lot of these developers know that these are necessities. These are functions that people want, and they want to update them. I think that when you develop a certain thing, you think like a developer. You don't think like the user.
I think
because that's my only explanation on why Skype is so shitty.
Yeah, you just described a situation I was talking to Brad about today with the servicing model for Windows 10, which is designed by enthusiasts and engineers who don't understand why the entire world doesn't want to update software every frickin' week of the year. And yet 65% of their revenues come from companies that don't want to upgrade their operating system but once every 10 years. Mm-hmm. They just don't seem to get it. And instead of adapting to this model, they've actually made it worse.
Yeah.
And I'm not an enterprise guy per se. I mean, I did write about enterprise computing for a long time, but you have to have a little bit of empathy and frankly, sympathy for these guys. It's sad. This is what happens when you live in a bubble and you don't understand what the rest of the world is like.
Yeah.
And it's a huge problem.
It's very easy for that to happen, by the way. And I understand how that happens. I get it. But
come on. It's happening at a point in time where this company has an unprecedented level of communication and transparency with their customers via the Windows Insider program. They're all over Twitter. They have a million different blogs and blah, blah, blah. And my God, are they just tone deaf to the needs of their actual customers. Yeah. It's crazy. It's a huge problem. Here's how big this problem is. I actually think they're doing this on purpose to sabotage this business from within, just to escalate the thing that was going to happen anyway, so they can move on to the thing they want to do, which is cloud computing, which probably has much lower overhead and much bigger future growth potential.
Interesting.
I mean, it's almost that bad. It's almost like
that's a conspiracy. They have
to be, no one is this freaking dumb.
Is that your conspiracy?
On purpose. I know. It's not right. It's crazy.
Is this,
I know.
Is what this like your Alex Jones theory, you know?
Yes. Like Sasquatch is going to stand up in the middle of a Microsoft town meeting. Yeah. The UFOs are going to land. The Loch Ness monster is going to swim up.
Yeah.
I get it. I know. It sounds nuts.
No, I get it. I get it.
I can't explain this otherwise. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's very interesting. I want to continue this. And I also want to discuss...
I'd like this to go away forever.
Okay, but this is going to go away, Paul. Because I have a question about getting text messages on Windows 10. I do want to talk about that, but before we do, I want to take a moment to talk about our sponsor, and that's Casper. Paul, are you bringing your Casper mattress to your new house?
Yeah, actually, I just so my son's been using that.
Do you need another Casper mattress?
Yes, because
do you really? Okay,
yeah, our current mattress is a disaster, and we actually returned it and exchanged it. And the one they gave us is a disaster. And you know how modern mattresses have the kind of muffin top thing now, and you can't really put them over.
Yeah.
So basically, what we've got is like one side of the bed is like Homer Simpson's like, you know, hole in, you know, I fall into this hole in the middle of the bed, and it's awful. So Stephanie said, you know, you should try that Casper thing that Mark has because she's like, why don't you just go lay down on that thing and take a nap or whatever and see if you like it because.
Yeah.
You know, he loves it and we need to do something.
Well, I slept on your Casper mattress and one. That's my, I'm not saying this because this is the library because I have the copy in front of me and none of this is supposed to be.
Oh no,
in
this
here.
Is just, this, this I'm is just true saying this. Real life
this is
just happened.
Real life.
Yeah, this says,
I cannot see myself ever buying another mattress. Yeah. One, the affordability of this mattress, what you're getting compared to what you would pay if you went to, you know, a brick and mortar mattress shop, very different, right? It's very, very different. Very much less. Two, the quality of the mattress is unbelievable. It comes in a box. You don't expect this thing to pop out of the box. You set
it
up.
It's like a life raft.
It really is. I set it up and I, you know, I had spent thousands on my other mattress. I have a severe back problem. I have four herniated discs and I actually have one now in my neck. So that's five. And it's years of sports and just abusing my body in that way. And it, when I was diagnosed with this problem and they told me I had to get surgery, I went out and bought the best mattress I could have possibly bought. And I got scammed into buying this nonsense mattress. I hated it every day. And I literally was in pain every night. It got better through dieting and yoga and stuff like that. But I still was in pain. And I'm telling this, I'm not saying that this is going to work in this capacity for you if you have a back problem. But when I got the Casper mattress within 2 weeks, I felt so much better. So much better. You know, I'm not even going to bother with the copy with this because it's, you know, this is a real conversation. But if you are thinking about something new, thinking about a new mattress, listen, they give you 100 days to try this thing out. It's available in U.S., Canada, and the U.K. So try it out. If it's not for you, you know what? The worst case scenario, you send it right back to them. Huh. It's great. You also get $50. $50 towards your mattress purchase by going to Casper.com/Andrew and entering the promo code Andrew. You know, I just, by the way, I'll contact them for you, Paul. Because
this is like...
It's a really good product. It's a really good product by really good people. And my mother-in-law bought one. She actually got scammed into buying one of the ripoffs. Do you know about that now? There's like ripoff versions and they're
terrible. Like Casper with a K.
It's almost like, yeah, almost something like that.
Casper pillows.
Actually, you know what? I don't even want to say their name, but you were so close to
that's,
that.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
So, you know? This is terrible.
Guys, Casper.com/Andrew, try it out. And when you do purchase one, tweet them out. If you do have a Casper mattress, by the way, tweet out Casper and add, you know, tag me and Paul in it so they know that, you know, this is actually happening. Casper, I want to thank them for supporting the show. I absolutely love those guys. Really, really good people. And they've been with us for a number of years now, so that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Right before we started the show, if you guys were watching the pre-show, Paul was telling me how I could get my text messages through Android on my Windows 10 device. Right. So explain to me how this works, because this is all new to me. Again, I love this because I feel excited about technology again, because I've been so, you know what I mean? Like, I've been out of the Windows environment, and I feel like we're a little jaded because we use everything, right? Like, everything we use Android, we use iOS, but I was really out of the Windows ecosystem for a while. Now, hearing about this, I'm excited. So tell me how I could get my text messages on Windows.
So basically, it works through Cortana.
Okay.
Right. So you have Windows 10, you have Cortana.
Yes.
It's associated with your Microsoft account.
Okay.
What you need to actually, I wrote an article about this. The easiest thing to do would be to follow the instructions in the article. I'll just do it off the top of my head, though.
Okay. Do top.
And so, actually, let me look in Cortana because I think you have to enable something. I'm doing this off the top of my head. So, but again, as I have an article about
I've disabled Cortana, so I should enable Cortana.
You should enable Cortana. That's right.
Oh, reply to text messages from your PC. Is this it? Because I clicked on Cortana. That's what it just did.
What are you looking at? A phone or a computer?
I'm looking at a computer. I just clicked on the Cortana.
Yeah, you have
button.
To do it on both sides. Okay. So. You have to enable the ability to send notifications and information between devices.
Okay.
And the feature that has to be on is get notifications from this PC on my phone.
But wait a minute. It also works on...
It goes both ways. It's bidirectional.
It works on the Mac.
It works on the Mac.
That Google Play and App Store.
Anyway. So on your Android-based device...
Okay.
Same thing. You have to go into, you know, go into Cortana, go into, let's see, it's probably settings, sync notifications. You can sync missed call notifications.
Okay.
Actually, those aren't the right notifications. Sorry.
I'm downloading Cortana right now.
I see. I've already got this set up. I don't even know where it is anymore. I have an article about this. The point is you have to make a setting change on both the phone and the computer. And once you do that, the messages sync back and forth. So, for example, today I was doing something. My friend John texted me on, you know, my phone number, obviously, and I got a little pop-up in the corner like you get in Windows 10. And it says, are you local today? Did you want to go out to eat tonight? And in the pop-up that appears, you can actually reply right in line if you see it in time. If you don't see it in time, you can click on the notification in Action Center, and then it loads in Cortana, and then you can go from there. You can also do things like you could say like, "Hey Cortana, send a text message to Andrew."
Yeah,
and it would start it out. You could type or say it. You know, you can do whatever you want from your computer, and then it would send it over, you know, to the phone and go. It would go out through your phone number. So it works kind of like the, what's it called? Handoff, whatever that Apple feature is.
Yeah.
Hangover,
called. I think it is.
But it only works with Android phones. It's only text messages. You can't do calls and stuff like that. Although you can get missed call notifications, you can't get those. But you can't, you know, you can't make a call yet. Although, by the way, obviously that's coming. So,
yeah, it's interesting because so that Verizon app that I keep telling you about that's terrible on the desktop and on the Mac, like on Mac OS, their iOS version is really nice because you could actually accept phone calls.
Yeah.
So what I've done is I've installed it on my work phone. So now not only do I get my work phone calls and my work text messages, I also get my personal texts and my personal phone calls.
Right.
One device. And I never carry this phone anymore.
So, you know, you might have said something like this too, but, you know, people often tell me how one of the troubles that they have, or one of the issues they have leaving the iPhone, is this iMessage thing. And they love iMessage, and, you know, it's the whole green versus blue thing. My kids talk about this. And
it's a big deal for kids.
Yeah, I don't actually think it's a big deal personally. I don't see it. But the thing you're describing, where phone calls and text messages go between your Mac and your device and to iPads or whatever else you might have, that's awesome. That's just plain awesome. And it's easier for Apple to do that because they control the whole stack. You'll notice that they don't offer that on Android, right? It has to be on an Apple device. But if you want to stick in that ecosystem, and lots of people are happy to do it, you know, it works really well. So that's what Microsoft is trying to compete
with. Why can't they just incorporate it into Skype? Just here you go.
Well, they've tried to do that. So actually, that's probably is how eventually it will come. So they've kind of gone back and forth like, this is going to be a Windows 10 feature. No, actually, Skype is our messaging platform. This should be a Skype feature. Actually, let's make it a Windows 10 feature. So, you know, I think the thing they've sort of figured out is that phone calls won't fall into this category. But when you want to make cross-device interoperability happen between two different platforms, Windows and Android or Windows and iOS, you have to figure out workarounds to do it. You know, this week, for example, they released a new feature in the Windows 10 Insider Preview that lets you, from an Android phone and soon from an iPhone, on any web browser, browse to a web page, click the share link, click the link that has been installed because you have a Microsoft app installed, and then it will actually push that link to Microsoft Edge, but it will push it to your Windows 10 computer, and you get to choose which computer it goes to. Now, this is a baby step, and it only works in one direction. It's not bidirectional, but still, it's kind of an interesting example of how Microsoft can work around the limitations of how they don't control both sides of the equation.
It is interesting. Someone in the chat goes, please don't ask Skype to add any more shit. Skype's shitty enough already. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Listen, I'm actually shocked. Do you like the new Skype UI?
You mean on the mobile phones?
Yeah.
I am a little bit more okay with it than a lot of people. I think the one thing it really desperately needs is customization options on the UI, because I will say, as someone who is not 15 years old, it could be a little busy, little squiggles and little animations and stuff like that. And I do sort of understand the complaint that maybe they could calm it down. But honestly, like I'm looking at it right now, you know, in its basic form, where it's black text and a white background, I think it looks really professional. And I think the splashes of color that they do are okay. You know, I don't think it's terrible. But yeah, they're a little, there's a little toy UI things in there. I understand the complaints, but I don't think the UI is going to be that hard to fix.
I'm not very, I don't really like it, especially on Android, actually.
Yeah.
This is fascinating. It's telling me that my credit card number doesn't match the credit card type. It's a Visa. What are we talking
about? What are you buying, Andrew?
iOS is not allowing me to purchase anything because it's telling me that it can't process my card and it's telling me that it's not a valid card.
Okay.
So this is fun. Thank you for that, iOS. I thought it was interesting because this has been a big thing for me. How I like to get my messages on one device, you know, everything together.
Right.
And I was able to, you know, to know that I could get text. I have to set that up later. That's
right. No, it's a good idea.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously they've showed off a lot of other things that will, you know, be cross device, you know, the ability to do cloud-based copy and paste between devices and computers. It's interesting. You know, the implementation is going to be key, whether it works well, works fast, you know, that kind of thing. Whether it's easy to find, easy to use, easy, you know, to install if you have to install something. I don't know. You know, we'll see.
So, Paul, I want to take a moment and I want to talk to you about smart home and the smart lights that you recently got.
Yeah.
So I've used the LifeX lights.
Okay.
That's the one that I've done. And they're very good. I bought it because they're super bright and I needed it for the studio to do like some color manipulation on the walls. Yeah. But I ended up really liking them, and I switched them all around my house. So I have one in the living room. I have one in the living room that I use just for, like, ambient lighting, you know, something. Yeah. I hit it on the wall, and it makes the wall nice. I have two in my studio. I got two in my bedroom. And I absolutely love these lights because, unlike other, you know, basic LEDs, you could change the warmth of the light and you could dim it on the app, which I really like. I'm not necessarily using the colors as much, but I do like the fact that I could tie everything in. And, you know, let's say I have a party. I actually brought all the lights and I set it up all on the first floor and I set it for a theme.
Yes.
So I have like themes, like I have Halloween or Christmas or relaxation or whatever it is. Tell me about what you got and how do you like them?
Well, I mean, the eventual goal is something like you described. What I've gotten so far, because we haven't moved yet, right? So buying a bunch of stuff right now doesn't necessarily make sense. This is going to sit in a box. But there was a really good sale on a starter kit for the Philips Hue stuff, and so it was $100 off. And I wanted all of the things that it contained, and so why not buy it now? And so because I did buy it now, and I put it out in the living room. We have three lights out there, so that we had three lights in the starter pack. You know, there's a little bridge you have to put on your network. And then there was a Google Home in there as well. But, you know, for voice activation and that kind of thing. You and I spoke about this briefly. It might have been last week. It feels like it was a million years ago. Frankly, I'm losing track of everything these days. But I forget how exactly you said it, but it was exactly where my head was at. I just didn't know how to explain it. And I guess I still don't. But you said something like, you want to do the right amount, but not too much. You know, you don't want to go crazy town, but you want there to be some kind of a sensible sort of thing. And so for me, and actually, especially for my wife, who was a tough sell on this, although once I had the stuff installed and could show her some of those things, like the colors, they have things, like you said, for concentration, relaxation, whatever, the themes and so forth and all that. My daughter, first of all, has already in her head ordered about $1,000 worth of this stuff for her bedroom. And my wife actually has finally come around to it. But the stumbling block is that we've been going out to Pennsylvania for, you know, 20 something years, and my family out there. And I've, you know, at the time it was like my father and his wife, a sister and her husband, and my other sister. In every one of those households, someone worked at Lutron, which is a lighting company that's based, I think, in Allentown or out near there somewhere. And they have all these Lutron switches all over their houses, and they're confusing. And they're giant control panels where they have, like, sometimes you hit it twice to, you know, go all the way up to brightness, and there's dimmers and blah, blah, blah. And you basically don't know what anything does until you play with every switch on the wall and, oh, that does that. Okay. You know, or there's this goofy stuff at my sister's house where someone will flip a switch down in the cellar and it literally turns off every light in the house right away. And, having experienced that, my wife has basically said, I never want that. I want a switch that goes on and goes off, goes on and goes off. You know, that's all she wants. So I agree with that, but I like the programmability stuff. And so for me, like, more specifically, the stumbling block is if I put Philips Hue lights out there, like I did on those three lights, if they're controllable via phone, via voice, whatever it is, but if someone walks up to the wall switch and turns it off, you've just lost the programming on that thing. So when you turn it back on, it just comes back as a standard light. So it's white, it's at whatever percent brightness, probably 100%, and you've lost the programming.
Yeah.
So what I want to do is figure out a system where, and I think I have it. My brother-in-law works at a different lighting company now, but I talked to him recently about this kind of thing. And, I believe there are electronics you can get where the light switch that you switch off doesn't actually turn it off all the way, even though it appears to be off, and you can have it not lose its settings. And so if you imagine I had three blue lights for whatever reason.
Yeah. And then when you flip it and turn it back on, you've lost the settings. You're right.
Yeah. So in other words, what you want is you flip the switch, it goes off. You come back, you flip the switch, it comes on blue, and at whatever thing it's supposed to be at, right? That's the goal. So, I also don't want to have a Death Star's worth of stupid control panels. I don't want to have remotes walking around the house. I want to have it make sense. In some rooms, there will be no smart lighting. It'll just be switches and it just works, you know.
Yeah.
My wife said, I don't want smart lights in the bedroom. We're not going to throw on the Valentine mood
setting. Oh, I do. You know,
yeah. Well, I'm just saying. I want it to be common sense. And so this is not something I can actually do until I get there. But, you know, I would say it's funny because the last time we talked about this, I was like, yeah, I'll do some of it. But I really investigated what's possible with ambient lighting and light strips and motion detectors and timers that do things like, you know, dusk to dawn outdoor lighting and blah, 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 all this stuff. And I'm probably going to do a lot more than I thought I was going to, you know what I mean? But I want to make sure that I do it in a way that's not insane.
Yeah. So I meant, you know, they're still expensive, right? And
oh yeah. Yeah.
Something. So are you going to go all LED in that house?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because so imagine like this is a complete nightmare disaster. Like I spend $20 a light bulb and replace every light bulb in the house with some Philips Hue thing. And they're all color capable and blah, blah, blah. And I never use any of that stuff. Imagine I just do that. Imagine how stupid that would be. Except that these things are supposed to last like 20 years. And so I guess the worst case scenario is, okay, well, there's still good lights. I mean, they're really nice lights. And they're supposed to last forever. And if we have a party down the road or want to celebrate Christmas in a special way, we're going to have that capability in certain rooms to do the things we've been talking about. Have the, you know, the Christmas theme come on, the fireplace comes on. It's, you know, memorable family event. I don't know. Yeah, we'll see.
So I started switching over LEDs. And then I won't bore everybody with this, but I started like a year and a half ago, right?
Do.
I went over a year and a half ago, and the biggest mistake that I made was going inexpensive on some of these LEDs, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I'll give you an example. Like I have two chandeliers, big chandeliers. No, well, three chandeliers on the first floor. I have two chandeliers on the second floor in the kids' room and in Justin's room. So these are a lot of bulbs to buy, you know, a lot of lights I got to buy. And those chandelier bulbs, I bought LEDs. And one of them, the one for the first floor, I bought the very, very expensive ones. Like I paid, you know, a dollar more than I should have.
Right.
And they were great. And then I found a deal on Amazon for half the price. So I bought them for the upstairs and they're terrible. They look cheap. I could see a flicker in the LEDs.
Yeah.
Nobody
yeah,
else apparently sees right. it. Nobody else sees it except for me.
Yep.
But it's terrible. Are you going to go like, that's what I was going to say. Like I would like to actually do like a little test and have a recommendation mm-hmm. of which one I really recommend. But you guys, if you are looking at this, do your homework and don't just buy like a cheapo brand.
Yeah, yeah. And well, I did 10 seconds of research, right? I arrived at Philips Hue. Like I think a lot of people will. If you think back to, a month or so ago, whatever it was, I wrote generally about I'm moving and I want to rethink the personal tech we use in the house and do things that make sense. Right. And so, you know, this falls into that kind of category. Like I only want to do it if it does make sense. If I am going to do it, I want to do it right. You know, and like I said to my wife, we're probably going to make some mistakes with the lighting because, you know, whatever, but part of doing it right means interoperability. And interoperability for me means something like Philips Hue, for example, works with Siri and the Apple stuff, HomeKit. It works with Google Home. It works with Amazon Echo and Alexa, which I don't use, but it is interoperable. And, you know, in other words, I don't want to go down a path where, for example, I've had these problems with Sonos. You know, like Sonos, I really like it, but you pretty much have to use their app, which I don't like, with rare exceptions. I know, you know, Spotify doesn't need that. I can't listen to Audible books on it, which sucks because I listen to a lot of Audible and I'd love to listen to it over the Sonos. And so I want to make sure everything I do, whatever it is, smart speakers, smart lighting, whatever, I want it to make sense, means it's rockable, works with what we use, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I thought it was very interesting. That's an interesting discussion to have. Paul, I do want to have one more discussion with you before we wrap it up. But of course, I want to thank our sponsor, and that's Hover. This is my domain company. This is who I use to buy all my domain names. I've been using them for 7 years, 6 years now, and I have over 250 domain names, 240, something like that. And it's all with Hover. And I did something awesome. I transferred all of them from those other guys, and I got a great rate on them when I first did it, and I've stuck with them because of their service. First of all, if you go to hover.com/WTT, you get 10% off your first purchase at Hover. So I like the fact that everything is managed under one umbrella. I don't have domain names everywhere. The second thing I really like is the support. Whenever I've had any issue, you could call them and it's super easy, super fast, or you could just do it based on their chat. And I have to tell you, they're the best when it comes to service. When you're buying a domain name, no upsell. There's no upsell. They don't scam you into thinking you need to buy this type of registration and that type of registration. And you're checking out for a $10 domain or a $15 domain. And by the end of the purchase, it's like $38. And you're looking at this thing, tilting your head, saying, what the hell just happened? You don't have that with Hover. You're buying a domain name, and you're done. Go to hover.com/WTT and get 10% off your first purchase. I want to thank Hover for supporting the show. I think we all know who I'm talking about when I say those other guys with the upsell. They're terrible. Paul, I wanted to really quickly get your opinion on what's going on with the iPhone 8 and all these alleged production issues that they're having. The company that has prided themselves on the fact that they are better at everybody at production.
Sure.
They're better than everybody. I mean, that was Tim Cook's thing.
I've been thinking about this a lot lately because obviously Apple is the center of my life and that's all I think about.
Yeah.
And, you know, they'll never do this. But I was thinking, imagine if Apple came out at the iPhone event that was in September or whenever they have it, October, whatever. And they say, you know, our original plan was to ship this crazy, awesome, and probably really expensive iPhone 8 within 2 or 3 weeks or whatever. But we ran into some issues because we're pushing this technology so far that, frankly, the manufacturing capabilities cannot keep up with what we want to do. And so the phone is going to be delayed a little bit. So maybe it doesn't ship until the end of November in limited quantities. And we know by January it'll be gangbusters. But let's talk about the problems we had. And you'll understand now why we are what you just said they are, better than everybody. And honestly, I think that would be an awesome and very Apple-like story to tell. And they'll never do it because they don't admit to, you know, to flaws or whatever in the process. But I think the world would applaud them for that if that's how they presented it, you know?
Yeah.
More likely is that they just, you know, cut features and then they pretended what they were doing was awesome and they always intended to do it that way.
I don't know. You know, it's alarming that they're having these issues, and every day you're seeing different news, different things come across. Like, you know, like today I saw the thing about how it's going to have wireless charging, because from the actual, they found a chipset in this thing that does wireless charging.
Yeah.
But that was like how. I don't know what the hell's happening. Maybe this is their way of kind of like tricking everybody into thinking, well, it's going to be late. It's going to be early. We don't know what's in it. Maybe this is Apple's diversion. But it's a little alarming that they're having these production issues and it's a brand new phone like this. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I found it a little concerning. Also, Flash is dead.
Yeah.
It's been dead, but now it's officially dead. 2020, right? It's about time. I wanted to mention that to you, Paul.
It's past time. I don't understand why it's taking so long, but yep.
Yeah. And I want to get your opinion on YouTube really quickly, because somebody messaged me earlier and asked me what Paul thinks of the fact that YouTube Music and Google Music are merging into one service.
Yeah. I debated whether I should write an article about this. I kind of linked to it for premium guys. But, you know, I use Google Play Music and I like it a lot. I could be getting this backwards. I forget where things come from sometimes, but I believe that as part of that subscription, you get access to YouTube Red, right? So you get access to that. And today, those things are two different things. But one of the things I've noticed, if you play a playlist or whatever selection of songs in Google Play Music on your phone, if that song has a video associated with it, you could imagine like on any given album, maybe two or four of the songs might have a video. In the now playing screen is actually like a YouTube play button in the middle of it. And I think you probably can even enable something that will always turn those on.
Yeah. I don't use
sorry, YouTube. There's music playing in my house.
I don't use YouTube music.
Hold on. What is that? Hold on a second.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Hold on. We'll be back. Let's listen to what Paul's listening to. Paul's listening to music. I don't know what it is. By the way, I did just install the Message Plus app on my phone now because I had an outdated version of it. And I'm curious if I've only made calls. I have not received calls on this thing.
So
what the hell just happened?
The Google Home that is in the next room was playing.
Oh, you're kidding music. Me. You're kidding me. Yeah.
I wonder if I triggered that by the discussion I just had.
That's quite
maybe
possible.
In the course. It thought I said, okay.
We don't want to say the rest.
Yeah.
It's
that's
like
so weird because it was cranking through the wall like it was thumping the wall.
That's funny. That's really funny.
Google Play, Google Home, by the way, is a very small device, but it's obviously a mono speaker, but it's not bad as, if you need like a speaker in the kitchen or something.
Yeah.
It's not. Anyway, the two services, YouTube Red and Google Play Music being separate are whatever to me. I don't really care. Like I never go to YouTube and seek out YouTube. I believe YouTube Red is pretty much just music videos, right? And then maybe some original content.
No, YouTube Red is the service for original content and ad-free YouTube.
Okay. So I sort of – okay, I see. But there are music videos. So anyways, obviously the music videos that Google has are on YouTube. So for some reason in the music app – when there is a video, it comes from YouTube, right?
Yes.
So I assume that was part of YouTube Red, but I believe that I get YouTube Red just by virtue of the fact that I have Google Play Music. So
that's
why
I played
music because it heard me say Google Play Music.
Oh no.
Cause you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
it
yeah.
took it as okay. And then that sentence.
That's funny.
That is amazing.
So they're merging the two services. So that's good.
Yeah. It doesn't impact me. I'm not really watching music videos these days or whatever, so I don't know.
Paul, do you have a meeting at 3:00?
You know I do, Andrew.
I know you do. I know you do. It's okay. It's okay.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. We'll wrap it up now. Yeah. Guys, go to our website, jfknetwork.com. Subscribe to the podcast. We're everywhere podcasts are available. You could, and if you enjoy the show, also rate us on iTunes. You could give us a nice little rate over there. And leave a review and then tell Paul he's pretty. You could tweet Paul at The Rod. You could tweet me at Andrew Zarin. You could follow What the Tech GFQ on Twitter as well. If you're watching this live, stay tuned. I'm going to hang out with you guys and talk to you guys about how I use my products. Paul, do you want to do me a favor right after the show? Really quick? 2 minutes? Okay. So we're going to wrap this up. We'll see you all next week. Take care.
Okay.